Hello, everyone. Welcome to Making the Biblical Text Meaningful to Life, a platform on which difficult biblical texts are discussed. Your teachers are Dr. Aaron Zaribo Liberty and Dr. Robert Song. Aaron, can you please lead us in prayer tonight?
Most certainly. Elohim, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, our Father in heaven, Lord, we just come before you this evening seeking your will and your guidance, Father. Lord, it is by your grace that you have saved us, that you have given us a scripture to study,
yes,
and that you've sent us your Holy Spirit to teach us and to open our eyes, Father. Lord, I just thank you for this time and for this study, the truth, truth that you're showing us each day. Lord, continue to work and stir in our hearts and in our minds. Draw us closer to you and deeper in the understanding of your word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Rob. Our text tonight is chapter 31, beginning at verse 17 to 21. So please pick up your Bible. This is a Bible study, and I'm reading from the NIV version. Genesis chapter 31, beginning at verse 17 to 21. Then Jacob put his children and his wives on camels, and he drove all his livestock ahead of him, along with all the goods he had accumulated in Padan, to go to his father Isaac in the land of Canaan. When Laban had gone to share his sheep, Rachel stole her father's household gods. Moreover, Jacob deceived Laban, the Aramean, by not telling him he was running away. So he fled with all he had, and crossing the river, he headed for the hill country of Gilead. Now, I mean, last week we ended the stay of Jacob in Haran, and this week we said Jacob was returning home. This is a very fascinating study tonight. All right, now Jacob decided to go home. He told Laban several times. Well, they got into an agreement to work for another 6 years. But as we studied last week, things had changed on the ground. What were those things? The sons of Laban came and began to accuse Jacob that he was taking their father's properties. This man is taking everything that our father owned. On the other hand, Laban's attitude changed towards Jacob. Something strange began to happen. And we said there are many ways God can speak to people. God can speak to you through your inward conviction, and God can also speak through outward circumstances. We discussed that last week. So, Jacob called his wives in the field and explained to them the situation that was going on within the family. And Jacob said, God, show me. And all of these things that God have blessed me with these sheep and the goats and whatever, God showed me, but he gave in the blessing. Your father had changed my wages several times, but God has blessed my life. And now he and his sons are against me. And one thing that I love in there was the wife said to Jacob, Jacob, we know all that God, your God, has told you, go ahead and do it. I love that part. They were not arguing, oh no, we can't go, we had to do it. But they said, as long as you said your God appeared to you and told you that you need to leave, and based upon these facts, we ourselves have seen it, we are willing to go with you, because we got nothing in our father's family. We had to build our own family. Thereupon, from verse 17, Jacob made a real plan. I mean, secret plan that Laban or any other person within the area knew. He went and took all of his things and crossed them. And Jacob and his people left. The wives were really in agreement because they knew what their father was doing. And I said, so tonight, Jacob now is returning home. This is our main topic. Jacob is returning home to Canaan. Now, the specific objective tonight, after our study, you will discover, believe, understand, and know that Jacob left Haran unknown to Laban with his family and servants and cattle. He left without telling him. You will also know that Laban pursued Jacob to capture him. That was his intention. But God intervened and Laban signed a covenant with Jacob. God intervened. Rachel stole the household gods of Laban and took it unknown to Jacob, and the purpose for taking it along. That we will learn tonight. I hope we finish it. The covenant between Jacob and Laban served as a territorial protection and guardians. These are areas that we are going to study tonight. Now, for our study, Jacob arrived in Haran empty. He went alone. He didn't have anything. But because, this is what I want you to point out, because the blessing of his God was upon him, he left Haran with major blessing. God blessed him in Haran. With all of the difficulties he went through, he was being tricked by Laban, and he would work, and sometimes his wages would be changed, and all that, God still blessed Jacob. God has given him more than just bread and clothing that he requested for at the time when he was on his way to go to Haran. Now, the only thing that Jacob did, which of course was based upon what he felt the founder would have done, he ran away on a way to Laban. He just escaped. He told his wife and children and all that he owned in Haran and left. Added to that, Rachel, the Lord's wife, stole her father's gods, the household gods. She stole it, and that household god, as people pronounce it two ways. Some saying seraphim, and others are saying teraphim. So whatever you you agree to it, that's it. So called teraphim, used as good luck charms, and that's why it was the god of Laban. Her daughter stole it. Why? Why did she do that? We're going to learn it as we go forward. Jacob was eager to see his relatives. He wanted to go home. Jacob was homesick. He'd been out of home for 20 round years. And so Jacob decided to do what? To go back. On the way, he departed and left and went. But here, that was the problem. The reason why Jacob did that, he felt that his father-in-law would not have allowed him to leave. So he did that. Jacob left. Laban came and got the information that Jacob had left with his children and grandchildren. So with his daughters and grandchildren, without, as he put it, without saying goodbye to them. He pursued them, and the purpose of that was to do what? Was to capture and bring them back to Haran. That was his purpose. He got his men, and they walked, how many days? 7 days. Oh, Jacob had gone far. They walked 7 days, and before 7 days, and before they got closer, then God spoke to Laban, be careful. Be careful of what you do to Jacob. And I just love that. The night before the Laban overtake Jacob in Gilead, God appeared to him and warned him against harming Jacob. You know, one thing, Arab.
Yes.
The way God can really protect his people. Look what he did. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, this is just excellent, because here we see in the beginning of chapter 31 of Genesis,
right,
that the countenance of Laban has changed. It's no longer favorable towards Jacob, the same as of his sons. And so we see that in the first couple verses, and then the Lord comes and speaks to Jacob in a vision or a dream, if you will. Mm-hmm. And in Genesis 31:13, God says, I am the God of Bethel. Remember the house of God?
Right.
The place where he had appeared to him.
Right.
And he says, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me, now rise, get thee out of this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred.
Mm.
So he's doing what God has commanded of him. You know, God's warned him that, you know, he sees there's a problem. God's warned him. He's taking heed of it. He's bringing his wives out to make sure that they're okay with this, and showing them the flock and what they've gained, and then he gathers everything, and then they go. Now God intervenes again in the life of Laban, in the whole affair that's happening. He intervenes and talks to Laban and basically tells him to cool down and not to harm Jacob, in a sense. So we see God's hand and providence in all of this, guiding and directing him. So it's really interesting.
It is really, Rob. It is really interesting. I love it. See, the manner in which God can intervene in the situation of his people. Let's talk about this household God that Rachel talked.
And so here we see he says God spoke to me, and he shows the wives everything, and he says, okay, if God said it, let's do it, let's go. So the wives agree. But then Rachel steals this other God. So here she is saying, yeah, let's do what God says, but then she goes and steals these other gods. Telling that they're not the, you know, that they're not the same.
Right.
But in 31, chapter 31, 15, we see in a sense that they're upset with their father, that mm-hmm. there's no dowry, no provision for them,
mm-hmm.
that they failed, that he's really failed to provide for them. And instead he's entrusted that into Jacob. Basically he outsourced it.
Right.
But he didn't, in the first 14 years, he wasn't really providing for him either. He was basically just a slave to him, a servant. His only outcome or inheritance was the daughters.
Right.
So Rachel, then the father's idol. Now, I don't know if these have value or not, but here she's taking this to as a good luck charm or trinket. But it may also possess some other material value as well. So we see their kind of resentment of the lack of provision, and then she takes this. So she's saying, in one hand, okay, we trust God, let's go, but then she's trusting in these idols and taking that. So there's kind of a contradiction or an interesting predicament that's presented.
I agree with you, Rob. I agree. Now let's look at what some scholars have said about this Saravin or Taravin. Which is the household god that Laban had, and which was stolen by his daughter. Scholars tell us that the word Saravin may be traced to Assyrian root, which means to inquire. This explains the reason why Rachel took with her these family gods when her husband stole away and left. It was to prevent her father from inquiring of these idols' oracles and thus discovering the direction in which they had gone. Now, here some scholars and from the gleaning in Genesis commentary, the author of this commentary came about that the seraphim or teraphim, it has a Syrian root, and it means to inquire. It was a kind of God that he had, and anything he wanted to find out, it was like an oracle. That he would go and say, what is going on here? And the seraphim would tell him what to do or what is going on. So the daughter stole away. That's what this brother has suggested here, which I think he's correct. Away this God so that the father will not come and inquire of the God to find out where they have gone, to follow them. And that's why this commentary from Gleanings in Genesis I've said, and it has some it's an oracle that you could consult, and they will tell you what to do and what not to do. Now, this is not the only place in scripture that this identical word is used. All right, it's not the only place. Now, when you look at Judges 18:6, the same is used there. All right, that it was of the seraphim they wished him to inquire, and not of the Lord. For when the spies returned to their tribe and made their report, which was adopted, the tribe ongoing folk to secure their inheritance carefully saw that it was Micah's priest with his graven image and the effort and the seraphim. Now you remember the story in Judges when a Levitical priest was captured and he became a priest for Micah. Can you remember that story, Rob?
I'm thinking about this, and you referenced 1 Samuel 19:13, where David was sick, and Saul was angry with him,
right,
coming in after him. You know, one of the roots in this is the Hebrew word rapha,
right,
which means healing,
right.
And so in 1 Samuel, we see that Michal,
right,
took the image and laid it under the bed.
That's it.
And so when Saul was coming in, he appeared sick. And he kept coming back. So here we see the same image bringing sickness in a way.
Uh-huh.
And in the other passage, we see them taking it like a good luck charm. That gives you a whole other context.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't, yeah. Interesting.
It's interesting. Right. It's interesting because anything that has that is something like an oracle, it has multiple uses. You go there for healing, in my home, and I mean, when we talk about oracle, it's all over the world. There was one in the United States. I mean, you can look it up. All right, it has multiple uses. You could go there when you are sick. You could go to consult it when you want to find out about something that you have missing. I mean, different things you use that oracle for. So this is what Pink is saying, A.W. Pink is saying, the lady, Rachel took that purposely because she knew that when the father comes home, and can't find any of the children around, he will go and consult that oracle, and the oracle will tell him exactly where they have gone. So instead of doing that, she took it away. You see? And some of the point that you need to know that too is that it took Laban some time to figure out where they have gone. Because he got behind them for 7 days before he reached it. I mean, they went far off. He didn't know where they went because his God was not around to tell him where they have gone. So it took him 7 days to meet them where they were. the same thing as you said in Samuel, and the seraphim or the teraphim was what were used by the Babylonian kings. They consulted it. It was an oracular device that were used by the kings. Whatever that they wanted to do, they would consult that. They would go and talk to it. So they would go and go to that god, and the way they had their way of worship, whatever the god will tell them, and they will come and say it, or this, okay, this is what is happening. And the issue of this seraphim or this teraphim or the is an oracle. It have multiple uses. It's not only just healing alone, but it will tell you things that are happening. It will give you directions. It will give you protection and all that. As far as I know, because in my home they have the same oracle there, and even in this country it was here in some part of Africa and other parts of the world. I think I was researching this. I saw several all over the world, but they have multiple uses. But the thing that I'm so excited about is that look, it's right there in Scripture. You see, it's right there in Scripture that they were used. The Babylonian kings used that. Now, let's see what Zechariah 10:2. When you read Zechariah 10:2, look what it said there. And I quote, "For the seraphim have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort you in vain." Right. We come back to the scene. Yeah. You see what it's saying there. What do you think? It's something that was in existence. Even nowadays, we have oracles in other parts of the world. What do you think?
Oh, yes. Yeah, well, and I mean, you have it in our culture, too. Horoscopes and other things that people consult.
Right.
For direction in their lives. But, you know, you got me thinking about what Pink said here. And there is no further mention that I can recollect of this idol after Genesis 31. It mentions it. Now she hides it when her father comes looking for it, and then it's never discussed again.
Right.
So we don't see her worshiping it per se or anything of that. It does make sense that she could have taken it to delay the father.
Right. And that's what Pete says. So I don't know, but I think it makes sense.
It does.
The father was really delayed for 7 days before he could catch up with them.
See? Right, right. Well, it was 3 days before he realized they were gone.
before they were gone.
Which even questions how often he used these idols or images or trinkets or whatever we want to call them.
Right. Right. So that is the issue. Now, where we are tonight is that now he pursued them and caught up with them. But here are some things that Laban did. The first thing, he pretended when he met Jacob and his family. He pretended that he would have given Jacob and his family a willing and gracious farewell if only Jacob have approached him openly. What do you think, Rob, on that? That is really not.
Yeah, well, so we see his intent. I mean, you know, we see in the beginning of this that his countenance had changed. So obviously he's angry. And it really isn't until God intervenes or comes to him.
Right.
That, you know, that we see him. That we see his behavior change towards Jacob.
Right. But we see his true self now. He confessed later on in Genesis 31:29. He confessed later that he had planned to what to do. You know, he said, "I'm going to go there and capture everyone, bring them back." You know, but then God warned him. In Genesis 31:29, he confessed that. And he confessed that. So, and he said, "But your God spoke to me not to do anything with you." Look, he said here, let me just read that carefully. In Genesis 31:21, he said, I have the power to harm you. But last night, the God of your father said to me, be careful to say anything to Jacob, either good or bad. Now he confessed it. First, he went there and pretended. Later on, he said, no, actually, I came with an evil intention, but your God stopped me. Your God, the God of your father, warned me last night not to do anything evil to you. And I just love that. Jacob confesses that he ran away because he feared that Laban would stop him. I think Jacob was right. Right, Rob?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we don't know everything that he saw or experienced in the vision, but God said go, and he got right up and went, taking heed of what was said. And he obviously was seeing harmful intent in the countenance of both the children and Laban.
And this one,
and he was rightly so, because here we see just a couple of verses later in Genesis 31:23 that, yeah, Laban found out, you know, on the third day.
Right.
And he grabbed all of his brethren and took after him. So he's taking up arms, basically, taking several folks to go after him.
Right.
He's angry.
Right.
And God asks him and says, wait a second. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That take heed that that speaks neither good or bad towards Jacob.
Right. And I just love what is going on here. But all in all, something happened. Laban was greatly concerned over his Syrian good luck chance. And so he searched everywhere in the tent. Jacob said, right. Hey, whenever you find your God with anybody, let the person die. That's why Jacob said. He said, Jacob was too sure that he didn't take it. But now knowing that his wife took it. So he looked around, and what did Richard do? Richard, deceived the father too, right?
Correct, yeah, and she hides it under the camel's mat. It kind of distracts him so that he doesn't fully search the room where it's hidden.
Right. Right, and you can guess so that she possessed, you know, her father's nature in a sense. You can find that. Okay, he said, no, I'm gonna deceive this man, and when they put this under the camera, somebody sat on it, and while Laban was turning everything upside down, that was his concern. He wanted his gods back. But he could not find it. So the daughter sat and he said, well, master, the reason I'm here, you know, I'm not well according to the manner of women. You know, I have my period, and so I can't get up before you. So he said, okay. But that was not true. That was deception. The gods, where she was sitting on top of the gods that the father was looking for. So we see that there are things there that are. No, but after the whole thing, what happened? Jacob was what? After he searched all over and Laban did not find anything, Jacob was angry. Let me just read what Jacob said. And look at what Jacob said here. I want to read that. What sin have I committed which justifies you in pursuing so hotly after me? Let me remind you of my 20 years of more than faithful service to you, and of my without stealing from you departure from you. And how was this faithful service repaid by you? You changed my wages 10 times, and you would now send me away empty, taking from me even my family and cattle purchased from you. If God had not rebuked you last night, I should be hotly pursuing you, rather you hotly pursuing me. Now Jacob was angry, and I love this translation. I think the translation is very simple. What have I done? I served you 20 years. You change, and you know, I love this text here though. It gives us an in-house issue that Jacob was going through. Jacob was going through with Laban. He said, you changed my wages 10 times. Right. Are you there? He said you changed my wages 10 times.
Yeah, 10 times in the 20 years that he served him.
Right.
Yeah, we only realized a couple of things from the passages that we read before this. Mm-hmm. But here he lays it all out that it's 10 times he's deceived him and tricked him and changed it on him. So not only did he change the wives and then make them stay longer and do these other things, but he's, you know, obviously it's a behavior that he keeps repeating.
That's the truth. And Jacob is, I mean, he was angry. He didn't know that the wife has the God, but he was saying the truth. You have changed my wages 10 times. If my God was not with me, I was going to leave you with empty hands. But because my God is with me, whatever you do, God will still bless my life. And that's what my God has done. Now,
right?
What could Laban say in such a case? Number one, the God of Abraham, Isaac, had warned him not to do anything evil. And that's why he went with his men to capture the whole family and take them back. And I know that would have been a very tough thing, all right? And Jacob said, now you chase me. I served you 20 years. You cheated me with wages 10 times. Now, if my God had not spoken to you, now you are going to come and grab all of us, take us back, and I will be chasing you for a little thing instead of you chasing me. This is what it would have happened if God Almighty had not spoken to you. So what did Laban do in response to Jacob? He was completely... Do you have any comment on this, Rob?
Well, here he's faced with the truth. You know, one, you know, God's come before him, so I'm sure he was fearful. And his realizing the severity of his actions and his emotional state.
Right.
Two, Jacob calls him out and says, hey, you know, I've worked for you for 20 years. I'm part of your family. I haven't ever done any wrong.
Right.
There's no reason for this. I only took what's mine. So there's no reason for this behavior. So the only action that he could really do was what they did, and that's to cut a covenant, to make an agreement to part ways and do no harm.
Right. No. Listen. Now, the only thing that Jacob, I mean, that Laban could do was to just propose peace agreement. Now, I know we're fighting right now. You bring in all the things that I have done because I have pursued you, and then the purpose for which I came is not true. Your God has warned me not to do anything. But look what happened. I love, you know, the area where he said, you know, Jacob, all these children are my children. All the livestock for me. Everything you have for me. What do you think he was saying? I mean, what he was saying there is, look, Jacob, everything for me. But I can't take it from you right now because of what your God has said to me. So let's come up with a peace agreement. Who proposed it? Was it Jacob? No, it was Laban. Laban's willingness to make a peace. And that's the key thing that I want us to look at here. The call for a covenant. Laban is unable to answer Jacob's angry charges against him. So he waives his rights and makes a covenant of peace with Jacob. After Jacob blasted at him. And it was the truth, though. Everything that Jacob told him was the truth. Nothing that he could answer Jacob or to say, well, Jacob, this point you read, it was not true. He knew that everything Jacob told him was true. So the only thing he came up with was, hey, Jacob, you and my son can't fight. All these children, my daughters, all the grandchildren, the livestock, everything for me. But this is what I want us to do. I want us to make peace, that we will no longer fight each other. It is a covenant of peace, an agreement that they will not harm each other. That was the kind of the covenant. Now, I'm leaving. I want to leave, but I don't want us to harm each other as you are going and as I'm remaining. So we need to make peace for the tomorrow of our lives. And I love what is said here. Now let me just read the text. You know, I got a text here I want to read that, and that is from the Message Bible. I love the Message Bible because it makes everything to some very, you know, simple. The Message Bible, this is the text here. Okay. Jacob took a stone and set it upright as a pillow. Jacob called his family around. Get stones. They gathered stones and heaped them up, and then ate there beside the pile of stones. Laban named it in Aramaic, Yiga Shahadutha. That means witness monument. Jacob echoed the naming in Hebrew, Geli, which also means witness monument. Now, it's kind of good. And verse 48:50, Laban said, this monument of stones will be a witness beginning now between you and me. That's why it is called Geli. That's why it is called Gelia, or witness monument. It is also called Mizpah, or watchtower, because Laban said, God keep watch between you and me when we are out of each other's sight. If you mistreat my daughters or take other wives when there's no one around to see you, God will see you and stand witness between us. I just love that this thing that the Message have said here. Rob, what do you think about what is being, what this whole agreement thing?
Oh, this is great. One of the things that is so important to pay attention to in Scripture is when individuals come together and cut a covenant. What we fail to realize in today's modern culture is when we say, oh yeah, I promised to do this. Well, we don't take it very seriously. But here, when they're cutting covenant and entering into blood covenant, they're saying, all that I have is yours and all that you have is mine. And right. So here, they're surrendering completely to each other. And we see a little bit revealed in verse 43, where Laban says, yes, all these daughters are mine. All these children are mine. All these, you know, all that I have is mine. But he's also, by going into the covenant, saying, yes, this is yours as well. And so let's make peace and part in good terms. And when they cut covenant, it's a very solemn act. And we see, you know, they're basically creating an altar. They eat upon that altar. And so they've obviously sacrificed something to consecrate the act.
Right.
And they have all the witnesses as well, because they're all there.
Right.
Taking part of this, because Laban's brought all of his family with him, and his sons and whomever else was in his household that was remaining. And Jacob has all of his family there as well.
Right. Now, and thank you, Rob. Thank you, Nilla. The covenant continues here in 51:53. Laban continued to Jacob. This is what he said. This monument of stones and this pillar that I have set up is a witness that I won't cross this line to hurt you, and you won't cross this line to hurt me. The God of Abraham, and the God of Nahor, the God of their ancestor, that's what the Message Bible had it, will keep things straight between us. 53, 55, Jacob promised, swearing by the fear, the God of his father Isaac. Then Jacob offered a sacrifice on the mountain and worshiped, calling in all his family members to the meal. They ate and slept that night on the mountain. Laban got up early the next morning, kissed his children and his daughters, blessed them, and then set off for home. Wow. All right. Now, I think we'll stop here for time, but and I love this whole peace agreement, and I love Rob, the way you explain it, you know, in making peace. I love how the Message Bible even put it. Now, that peace is not just a peace that they make, but it's a continual thing to protect each other. To protect each other. Now, in my culture, let me share something with you. If you marry from another tribe, the understanding there was, if anything happened in that tribe, you had to go and fight for them because you got your daughter. And if anything happened in your own tribe, they will have to come and fight for you. So it was a kind of mutual protection that they signed right here. But however, when we come back next, we will go in deep in that. Because of time, we can't do anything. So, hey, Rob, do you have any concluding remark before we open the open up for questioning or comments?
Just one last thought, because the altar or the pillar that they created there, it stands also as a visual reminder
right.
of the agreement. Not only that they cut covenant, but now here's a symbol that will remind them. Yes, yeah, that's there to stand for however long. I mean, some of these have lasted for a long, long time.
Right. Right. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Okay. Now, next week we will continue, because here with the covenant, there are a lot of things that we still have to discuss, but we can't go into right now. Let's save that for next week. We want you to invite somebody. If you are with us live tonight, you are unmuted. So if you have any comment of what we have said, or if you have questions, I want you to ask it, and we will address it. Because of time, if we get there, we don't know how many questions that will come in, but whatever question you have, you ask it. The one we can't answer right now, we are going to answer it next week when you come. So join us next week in a time. Any question out there? If you are on phone, you are on mute already. So you can just ask. If you are on the computer, you can ask. If you want to do okay, well then thank you. Okay, thank you for joining us today, and next week we are going to continue with Jacob and with the covenant. We're going to have a lot to discuss here, so we don't want to just finish it tonight. We continue next week. Okay, God bless you. Thank you so much. And Rob, can you lead us in prayer?
Certainly. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this study, for revealing to us your word, Father, and how much you care for us, how much you cared for Jacob, for his family.
Mm.
Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, you care for us as well, Father. We just praise your name and give you thanks. And Lord, continue to speak to us and speak through your Holy Spirit to us, Father, just teaching us your truth and your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.